Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome, Wayne. Thank you so much for joining us on Kaya Biz. How are you this evening?
Great. Nice to be with you.
Likewise. Okay. Terrible. Well, what wonderful to be with you. The circumstances are a little odd. We're being told more or less that this quote-unquote ETOLS issue is being put to bed. But I'm wondering whether or not we're not waking up new demons. Can you help us understand this 3.8 billion rand payment and where that comes from in the Gauteng budget and how that will impact South African taxpayers?
Okay, so I'll try and make it simple, but when the decision was made to end ETOLS, which was finally put in place in April this year, but towards the end of last year, we got announcements from Treasury and Gauteng Province that the debt, now it's not the ETOL debt, which Emotis ran up, it is the debt of the borrowings that SANOL entered into to upgrade the freeway infrastructure. There was about 21 billion rand debt that would now be settled because they have to finance these bonds. It comes from you and I, the taxpayer, somewhere along the line. And there was going to be split 30% from the Gauteng Province and 70% from National, and the Gauteng Province's portion of that would be about just over 12 billion. Now, we raised the concern and said, why is the Gauteng government being sucked into debt which it never entered into? SANRAL entered into this debt by borrowing, and National government backed it, and SANRAL is a national roads agency. So you've got to ask yourself, what was the rationale for that? And then what made matters worse, they said, oh, and we're also going to allocate 4 billion rand to the maintenance of the SANRAL's roads. Now, how do you maintain assets that aren't yours on your books? There's an accounting issue there. And so that's what we've learned. Now, the first payment of that 12 billion has been made today, the 3.1 billion, or 3.8, I'm not sure what the amount is. Yeah, and that's been made today, and there's obviously another three tranches going to happen over the next 3 years. So that now impacts on Gauteng's budget. They've got to allocate money to hospitals, to schools, to social development, and so forth. And they're in a very tight situation. So the question becomes, why did you allow this to happen in the first place? You didn't have to enter into any debt arrangement with Treasury.
Yes.
But there's just one caveat there. It's hard to bite the hand that feeds you because Treasury gives Gauteng 95% of its allocations anyway. So it's just moving paper around.
It is. Okay, so it is moving paper around. And to my colleague Pimeno's point a little bit earlier on, it looks as though it's moving paper. It kind of prejudices a particular province now because of because of the service delivery costs that will be or budgets that will be cut. I want to ask, I guess the correct person I should be asking is SANRAL, but I suspect they won't be very forthcoming. But where is SANRAL now from a financial position to be able to attend to this? Because they're able to issue their own bonds. This shouldn't have to come out of a budget.
Highly
subscribed.
They got themselves and the country into this debt, and they were ones that had to resolve it. Now, remember, while all this ETOL defiance campaign was rolling out, they petitioned the Treasury and said, hey, we need more money. And they get, by the way, between 12 and 15 billion rand a year from Treasury just to manage their non-toll portfolio.
Gosh.
On top of that, they've received 26 billion rand over the last 12 years for the ETOL debt or for the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project debt.
Mm.
So, and they only borrowed 21, and they also received 7 billion rand from the handful of people that did pay over the last 10 years. So it's not as if they didn't get any money. The question we got is, well, how much of that went settling these bonds and the interest? And it seems nothing went there. That's why suddenly there's this 43 billion rand, of which they had to pick up 17 billion. So, I mean, or 12.3 billion.
Yes.
So it really is. There's too many questions here, too many unanswered questions around accounting principles.
I'm wondering here, but particularly on that point, Wayne, I'm now wondering from a national perspective, and maybe this is more for Treasury to answer, but from a PFMA perspective, even Treasury should not be allocating that money then. It's a standalone entity.
Well, it is, but it is backed by government bonds.
Okay,
so government has backed those bonds. So if SANRAL can't pay, government has to pay up. And
okay, fair enough. Okay, so let's just say that's where we are. Okay. Then next question I have is, you know, do you have a sense of the scale of the Gauteng budget that's been interrupted here?
Well, first of all, Treasury of Gauteng know that the budgets have been cut by 15 billion rand.
Mm.
I'm not sure exactly their total budget, national allocation is about 180 billion. So 15 billion is quite a substantial amount. Then 20 billion rand over the next few years. That's a sizable amount, especially knowing that they are broke, that they've already been trying to reallocate expenses from some portfolios. And that's not good. I mean, we want a province that is well-funded, that is managing its financial affairs properly, and we see it's not, because if you look at the Bayers Nodea Road extension out to Cradle of Humankind, obviously a contract was issued. There are heaps of sand there. They've been standing with weeds growing through it now. Some of the roadwork has been done for over a year. It's been standing there. This is billions of rands of taxpayers' money. We're asking, where's that money gone to? Why are the contractors run away? The same thing that's happened at Lillian Gore Street in the city of Joburg. Contractors are paid for work and then they disappear.
Yeah.
So they're not managing our finances properly.
This is especially frustrating under this fraught back and forth at the major metros in the province.
Yeah.
You know, as far as tax collection or revenue collection goes, you really do rely on either national or the major cities for the major revenue collection.
Yeah.
And so again, you know, not gutting, but taking this 3.8 billion and ultimately what will be 12.9 billion out of the Gauteng budget implies that this relatively rudderless Tshwane, Ekurhuleni and Joburg are going to have to pick up quite a bit of slack.
Yeah, it's very concerning because the province is under a lot of financial pressure. They've said it themselves. You know, they almost regard themselves as bankrupt. And that's not a good place to be. So you and I, the citizens and residents of Gauteng, suffer. Because somewhere along the line, their taxes are going to go up. The money, the little bit of money that they collect, vehicle license fees, for instance, who knows? They've said for a while, by the way, that they're going to have to go and find additional revenue. But we've said, well, where? I mean, how do you do this? You only receive 5% of your own revenues. So how are you going to do this to an extent that it gives you a marked increase in the revenues to meet your challenges and your needs?
Help me understand how much of this is actually a cost burden on the basis of delays and inflation over time.
Sorry, how much is
outstanding debt is because of delays or inflation over time? Because it was, as you say, it was 21 billion that was supposed to be the outstanding.
Yeah, well, the original debt that SANRAL took out to build the road infrastructure was 21 billion. And they really took a long time to try and start to settle it, which is why inflation is built up over time, or the interest of that amount is built up. Yet they received 26 billion, as I said, from Treasury over the last 12 years, and 7 billion. And so think of it, about 34 billion, and they've got from the Utah matter between Treasury and Motors. What happened to that money?
That's a very good question. I have another question for you, Wayne. Mr. Mayele says we cannot compromise the user pay principle. You can't expect those who do not have cars to pay. You are paying for what you're using. I have two questions in that regard. The first is, having grown up in this country in the 80s, I remember toll roads existing, just not this not this costly. And then secondly, there are allocations made for the road that don't necessarily come from users. So when he says we can't abandon user pay principle, what do you think they might be planning?
Well, I don't know. No, they certainly can't reintroduce or rehash the whole ETOL matter. I think our message to Maile is, of course, we all understand the user-based principle. But if you can't introduce a user-based process efficiently, then you can't go down that road. So, for instance, if you and I don't pay our electricity and we use it and we don't pay, well, they get switched off. That's easy to manage. But how do you manage people who don't pay their ETOL bill? How do you deflect those cars off the roads? unless you want to summons them, which they tried to do, and they failed dismally in that. So you cannot administer a user pays principle. You have to find another solution to it. And that's what they keep skirting around. They don't answer the question. And our question is this now. The freeway between Pietermaritzburg and Itikweni is being upgraded. Massive freeway. It's not being tolled. Well, who's paying for that upgrade, our one here? It's a big one. We're paying for it. You and I, because Gauteng contributes, the residents of Gauteng contribute nearly 40% of the receipts for Treasury. Sure. We pay fuel levies, and we're not traveling on that road. So who's paying for that? It's us. It's everybody. These are social infrastructure routes which we use, and not every road can be tolled, and it was a crazy idea to toll the Gauteng freeway upgrade.
I think that's a brilliant place to leave it, Wayne. Thank you so much. I hope that you'll stay in, tuned in, because Lebogang Mayele will be joining my colleague Pumile Moten on the next show, Point of View, between 8 and 10. Let's hope we get some answers there. But I think you gave us quite a great number of questions to consider and a path towards more answers, as you always do. Thanks again. Wayne Devenage is the CEO of ARTA, and you can thank him more than the others, I think, for any relief you may be seeing on eTolls.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.